good to see what the Lord's doing in the church. So, Hebrews chapter 10, and starting in verse 26, we're going to read down through verse 31. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the new or of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath not or and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Let's open here in a word of prayer. We'll get started here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to meet here. Lord, I thank you for the, Lord, just the faithfulness of your people. Lord, I pray you just continue to do a great work in our church, Lord. We do thank you for the growth that we're seeing, Lord, spiritually and also numerically, Lord, and just people just searching for truth, Lord. And that's why each and every one of us are here, Lord. We want to know, Lord, exactly what your word says. Lord, we know this world would like nothing more than to fill our heads with these things, Lord, that are just worldly philosophies that are not going to give us hope. But Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you that hope can be found in your word. Lord, if there's someone here that has not trusted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray they'd come to know you today. Lord, be with this message today. I pray that you'd guide and direct my thoughts and my words. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone here that has not trusted you, they'd come to know you today. Do a work in each and every one of our hearts. And I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week we met together and I preached a message entitled, "Now That We Know, What Should We Do?" And of course we were discussing the truth of the matter found between verse 19 and verse 25. And of course the penman here had been talking about who the Lord was and what the Lord has done and all of that. And he's talking to the saved people here. We see that in verse 19 there. "Having therefore brethren," he's talking to ones who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And the Lord did a great work in my heart last week. I hope he did that for you as well. But unfortunately, the truth of the matter is many people do not do exactly what we know we should do. And that's not only found in the world, but that's also found in the church. Many times we have people that come to church over and over and over again, maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just coming in the church, but they hear the Word of God preached and they do not apply it to their lives. But isn't it true that when we're told to do something at work by our boss, we are when we're told to do that, we know we need to do that or there's going to be consequences. We know that we could lose our job. Well, praise the Lord, we can't lose our salvation. Amen. We are safe and secure in the hand of the Father. But the truth of the matter is we need to obey what God's Word says. Those of us as believers need to obey Him. When we hear something in the world and somebody of authority is telling us we should do that, we know that that's what we should do because there will be consequences if we do not. But yet we convince ourselves that our reason for disobeying the Bible can be justified. We convince ourselves, well, that's just not something that I need to be doing. But the truth is, if we do not do that, then there's consequences for that rebellion. And I want to talk about that consequences, those that rebellion today, if you will. And I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, Willful Sin. Willful Sin. Now, as I mentioned last week, we talked about now that we know, what should we do? But then the penman here, he goes into these other verses here. And in verse 26, he says this, "For if we sin willfully." There is a difference in just sinning willfully and just slipping up and asking the Lord to forgive you of that sin. There's a difference there. There's many times there is what we call a besetting sin. There's something that we call a pet sin, just something we carry along with us all the time. Well, that's just my besetting sin. And we act as though we can never have deliverance from that. We act as though we'll never get the victory over that. And we just continue to sin willfully because, well, in our minds, we've justified ourselves. It's my prayer that the Lord will do a great work in our hearts today. And that each one of us as believers, we will live in obedience to God's Word. And because there's only two ways we can live. We either live in obedience or we live in rebellion. And I want to live in obedience. I believe the same is true for you today as well. So notice, first of all, this morning, the conduct explained. Look at verse 26 and verse 27 of our passage here. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, there's a couple of things here that the world does not like to hear. That's the word judgment. And they definitely do not like to hear the two words, fiery indignation. Why? Because that brings it to a personal level, doesn't it? When someone says, you're being judged for this thing, you know that they are looking at you. Well, we see here that it says, judgment and fiery indignation. Here in this passage we're reading this morning, it begins on a very personal note. As I was studying this, I was met immediately by that third word we see there, for if we sin willfully. Wait a second, preacher. Wouldn't the ones who are sinning willfully, wouldn't that be found in the unbelievers? Well, yes, but it's also found amongst believers as well. Each and every one of us can be sinning willfully. This is not a passage that was only for the Jews or just specifically aimed at the Gentiles. This passage here is for all of us because the truth is, as the penman here, as he was writing this passage, he was a believer. He had trusted Christ as his personal Savior, and he's speaking to the brethren. We read that verse just a second ago when he says, having therefore brethren, he says, if we sin willfully, speaking of himself along with the other believers there, he's trying to declare this truth that each and every one of us need to get dialed in here, and it will help us to live the Christian life, that we can live or that we can sin willfully. We can do that, but it's not what God desires for our life. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be things that do not go well. Notice it says, if we... Well, of course, that's speaking of brethren, and the book of Hebrews is written primarily to the saved Jews, the ones who had trusted Christ, but they were under severe pressure by their religious friends and family to recant their faith, to say that they don't believe that any longer and return to Judaism. That's what they were trying to convince them to do. No doubt there were saved Gentiles and ones like that as well. But there is going to be many times in which if you're saved here today, many times when people say things like this, well, can't you just forget about that spiritual stuff? Why do you have to go to church? Why do you have to believe those things? People are going to try to get you to go back on what you believe. They're going to try to do that. That's what we see here with the Jews as well. And what we see is the writer here, he's trying to biblically warn them of the dangers that lie ahead for the ones who live in disobedience to God's Word. Church, why do we come together into this building on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Why do we do that? We do that to hear from the Word of God. Now, I love hearing the hymns of the faith. Amen. I enjoyed learning that one this morning. And as Brother Sean said, it was an easy one to learn. I like learning easy new songs. Amen. I like that. There's going to be many other new ones. And I love that because they teach the doctrine. I don't want to get away from that. But the truth of the matter is, we do not come here to sing. We just sing while we're here. We do not come here just so we can talk to one another and wonder what's going on in each other's lives. Though it's good to do that. It's good to talk and fellowship. We're going to have fellowship today, amen. Before those doors were closed, that smell was creeping on up here. And I said, I may have to cut this message short this morning, amen. Get down there to those crock pots, amen. But we don't come here for the fellowship. I love the fellowship. I love singing the hymn. We come here to hear from the Word of God. That's why we come into the house of God, to understand what God says about these issues. We come here to get help from the Scriptures, to understand what God says about the issues of life. But every single time the Word of God is open, we hear something other than just a truth. We also hear a warning every time. You may say, well, when you read a certain verse, there may not be a warning in those words themselves. No, it may not be a warning that is seen in the words themselves, but there is always a warning in the principles of the Scriptures. Do this, and this will happen. You don't do this, and this is going to happen. That's just the truth of the matter. It's found in the Word of God. A warning. As you read the Bible, you're going to find that laced under every truth is a warning of disobedience. You're going to find that. When I was growing up, and my dad would say, son, go out and cut the grass. Now, we had an acre and three quarters, and that was not a problem to cut the grass when the riding mower was running great. Well, one day the riding mower breaks down. We just happened to have two push mowers. That just happened to run perfectly fine. So what's he say? Boys, we got to go out and cut some grass. And we walked and walked and walked and walked and walked. I was so glad when that mower got fixed. Amen. But he would tell me, go out and cut the grass. And I heard, son, go cut the grass. Subconsciously, I heard this. Son, go cut the grass. And if you disobey, there's going to be consequences. Did he say that with his words? No. But I knew exactly what was going to happen if I did not go out there and cut the grass. I knew exactly what would happen. We all understand that. And the same is true with the Bible as well. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Does it say in that verse there, thou shalt not kill, and if you do, you're going to have this happen and this happen? No, that verse doesn't say that. But we know what the Bible says about murder. We know what the Bible says about shedding innocent blood. We know there is going to be consequences of that sin. So we see here in this verse, it says, if we, speaking of the saved people, and notice those next two words, if we sin willfully. It's not just speaking of anyone who sins. Notice, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth. This is speaking of the ones who have heard the truth. They know what the Bible says about this topic, and they continue to go against that. That is who it's speaking of here today. This is the ones who have heard what the Bible says, and they reject that truth. They continue to live in known sin. And in this passage, we see clearly that it's speaking of believers. But I would like to take a step back and see that the same truth applies to some unbelievers as well. You see, though he is speaking here, and he says, if we, speaking to believers, if we sin willfully, and he goes on talking about some things, the same thing is true with unbelievers. You see, everyone who's ever walked to the face of the earth has had to make the same decision, either accept Christ or don't accept Christ. They've had to make those decisions there. And once a person realizes that they are a sinner, they are at what we call today as the age of accountability. They know that they're a sinner. They know that they've transgressed against God's law, and they know that they need to accept Christ as their Savior. There's much contention around that statement, age of accountability, and all of that. We're not getting into that here this morning. But in any case, everyone will reach that point. When they realize, I have sinned against God. When they hear the verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we heard the verse, there is none righteous, no, not one. We understand there is something that has come between me and God. Something that has made God unhappy. We understand that to be true. But when we understand that, we have a decision to make. And if we make the decision to trust Christ, we're going to go to heaven. If we make the decision to reject Christ, then we're on our way to hell. See, when you read the verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it doesn't say, and if you don't, you're going to hell. But through the principles of the Bible, we know that that's true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's the decision we should be making. Amen. God doesn't want to send people to hell. But God must judge sin. The way to heaven is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. If we reject Christ and we die before accepting Christ, you will be in hell for all eternity, because that is known sin. We know that we're a sinner. We're on our way to hell. We know that we need a Savior. We know that a sacrifice was given through God's Son. Yet if we continue to reject Him and we continue on that path of sin, we refuse to accept Christ as our personal Savior, understand this: if that is you this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're who is being talked about here in sinning willfully. It's not because you don't know that you need to be saved. It's because you're refusing to trust Christ as your Savior. Do not allow the devil to convince you that you're doing okay and that you need to just continue on the path that you're on. No, get saved here this morning. It isn't some a crazy far out thing that people try to convince some that salvation is. And is it something that's embarrassing? It's simply understanding that you're a sinner. Your sins condemn you to hell, but realizing that Christ paid for your sins and you accept Him as your personal Savior. And no matter what the devil tries to whisper in your ear, the devil will try to say things like this: well, what will these people think of me? And what is this person going to say? These people over here, they think I'm saved. Can I tell you this? Anyone that is saved and on their way to heaven, here's something they're going to you need to understand. When you trust Christ as your Savior, everyone around you is going to be thrilled that you did that. Not going to make fun of you or anything or think lesser of you. No, it's an amazing thing. Heaven rejoices when a person accepts Christ. And we'll rejoice as well. You're here today and you're not saved. Trust Christ today. Look over at the book of Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. One time I was witnessing to a person, and they asked about being saved. So I turned to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and I read this verse here, or these two verses. Notice it says this: that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I read those two verses to him, and I can remember him saying this: that's it? All I have to do is believe on Christ and confess my sins. He was absolutely just blown away that he didn't have to do all of these good works and go and do this and clean up his life and all of that. He goes, that's all I have to do? I said, yes. I said, it's so simple. But I told him, it's not just the words that come out of your mouth. Notice it says there, and shalt believe in thine heart, believing that Christ died for your sins. Praise the Lord. You can do that today by placing your trust in Christ. That young man I'm talking about, he trusted Christ that day. And what an amazing thing that is. If you refuse Christ, though, understand that you are sinning willfully. But for us as believers, we're not off the hook. We can sin willfully as well. You see, we would all agree that there are certain things in our lives that are those besetting sins. And we discussed a few things last week. The Bible says we should do. We should be drawing near to God. We should be unwavering. We should be provoking one another to love and good works. We should be in church and be faithful to God's house. Serve the Lord together. Those are just a few of the things that we discussed. Just a few of the things that we talked about last week. The truth of the matter is, a church not doing what we should be doing is just as much a sin as doing things that are wrong. When the Lord tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, it's talking about joining together as the body of Christ, coming together to hear the word preached. If we refuse to do that, we're just as guilty as someone that goes out and commits murder. Because it's a sin. Because we are sinning willfully. We know that we should be meeting together. If we do not read our Bible, if we're not praying like we should. Notice the Bible commands those things. The Bible also commands that we should go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. If we are not living as a witness, we are sinning willfully. because the Bible tells us exactly what we should be doing. It's a command. We're told to give to God. Of course, that is monetarily, but also with our time and with our talents and all of that. If we do not do that, we are sinning willfully. Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." We would say that theft is a sin, wouldn't we? But yet the Bible says in Malachi 3:10, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And God said, "In tithes and offerings." If we are not obeying God in the area of giving, we as believers are sinning willfully. I am preaching this morning to be a help to us today. If we do not do what the Bible tells us, then we are sinning willfully. Another thing the Bible tells us to do, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." We need to be studying the Word of God. That is a command from Scripture. We need to be studying the Bible. This is where truth is found. It's found in the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." That's not a suggestion to believers. It's a command. Pray without ceasing. You see, these are areas of importance, but so many times we gloss over these areas. We think to ourselves, well, that's just a small area. Listen, church, it's sin if the Bible declares this is what we should be doing and we do not do that. It's sin. Verse 26 of our passage today, notice the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Notice we see it's willful sin, it's intentional sin, it's inexcusable. Churches are speaking to the ones who know what they're doing, but yet living in rebellion. We as believers, we should not live in rebellion to God's Word. It's not something that we should do. What a tragedy it would be for someone to know the truth, know that Christ died for their sins, and reject Him and end up in a place called hell. An absolute tragedy that would be. But the truth is, just because we are saved and secure in God does not mean that we should be sinning willfully either. Romans chapter 6, it says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then he goes on and says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" You see, there's many believers that during that day, and of course during today as well, they'll say things like this. They'll say, well, I'm saved so I can live however I want. What he was saying there in the book of Romans is this, that should not be the mindset of a saved person. The mindset of a saved person should be, I want to do everything I can to please my Savior. I want to do everything I can to obey the Bible. He said, grace will not abound in the life of someone who is sinning willfully. But then, unfortunately, that's the mindset that we find many times in believers today. People will trust Christ as their personal Savior, and yet they act like, well, now they have a license to sin. It's not that at all. No, we should be trusting Christ. And understanding, yes, our flesh is going to rile up within us. Yes, our flesh is going to want to do some things that are against the Word of God. But we've got the Holy Spirit within us that is saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be with these people. Don't say those words. Don't lie to this person. Don't lie on that document. Don't be doing these things. The Holy Spirit is there and He's convicting us. Because we should not be continuing in that sin. No, we should not be sinning willfully. We should not be living in rebellion to God's Word. Our desire as believers should be to know what is right and to do that. You know, the Bible says this, "Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We know what the Bible says. Therefore, if we do not obey the Bible, the Bible itself declares that that is sin. If we live in rebellion to God's Word, we're going to live a miserable life. Absolute miserable life. The truth of the matter is, we need to understand that we as believers, when we stand before the Lord, we will be rewarded for what we have done for Christ. And living with known sin will cause us to lose rewards in heaven. We're not going to get into all of the teaching as far as the rewards won and rewards lost and all of that, but the Bible clearly teaches that when you get to heaven as a believer, your salvation is secure. Eternal life is a current possession of a believer, but when we get to heaven, we are going to be judged, not to decide whether or not we go to heaven or hell. You trust Christ your Savior, you're going to heaven, but we're going to be judged based on what we've done for Christ. And we will lose rewards if we are living in known, willful sin. See, the rewards that we will get into heaven, they're not going to be selfish rewards. They're going to be things that we can give back to Christ because of what He's given to us. Church, let's be slow to sin, but quick to confess sin. And then, first of all, we see the conduct explained. Second of all, notice here the comparison that is given, the comparison given. Look at verse 28 and 29 of our passage. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So notice here the comparison that he's given. Many times we just go about our lives not even thinking about the consequences that are coming our way. But there is a domino effect to bad decisions. You ever done something and you didn't think about the consequences, and it may be days or even weeks, maybe even a month later, and you start feeling the consequences of that decision? Go on a vacation or a trip and you put it all on your credit card, it may feel great until that next month comes and that statement comes in the mail, amen? That is the consequences of that decision that we made. We're reminded of that. But many times the truth is we will commit some sinful deed and it causes a domino effect because we refuse to confess that sin unto the Lord. When we willfully sin, it's not only affecting us. It also affects our spouse. It affects our children. Many times it affects our grandchildren as well. It'll affect our church and our loved ones, and it affects the ones who we should be a witness to, but most of all, it affects Christ. When His children know to do what is right, but yet we do not do that. Isn't it true that when you do something for someone, oftentimes if we help someone, in the back of our minds, we may be thinking, well, someday when I'm in trouble, this person, because we're friends, they may help me. Now, we should not help people because of that, but we're human. That it comes across our mind. But the truth of the matter is, when we help someone, we may not do it so that they will do something for us, but the day comes when we need help, you would hope that they would help you. Amen? You would hope that if their ox is in a ditch this week and you help them get that out, the next week, if your ox is in a ditch, if there's any way possible, they'll help you. That's just the way the human mind works. But think of that in relation to Christ. When we sin against God, whether it be breaking the Ten Commandments, which we all do in one way or another, knowingly sin in some other way, if we reject Christ, we are stepping on Christ by what we have done. Notice what the Bible says there. Notice the words that it uses in verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Just trodden him underfoot. Believers continuing to sin willfully, it's as though we are stomping all over Christ and what He has done for us. Person rejects Christ and refuses to trust Him as their Savior, it's though they are just stomping on the blood of Christ, trotting Him underfoot. But also, we as believers, if we are willfully sinning, we're doing the same thing as well. Just trotting Him under our feet. If we are saved, but we're not living according to the Bible, we're walking all over Christ. And look at the ending of the verse there in verse 29. Notice it says this, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hath done despite. That word despite means this, insult. if we as believers are willfully sinning, just continuing to do something, well, because, that just makes me happy. I know the Bible says that I shouldn't do that, or I know the Bible says I should do this, but I'm just deciding not to do that. You are insulting the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says there. If we are not doing what the Bible tells us to do as believers, then we are insulting Him. When we do that, our testimony for Christ is hindered because if we are insulting the Holy Spirit, why would the world want what we have? Why would they want that? You know who is a great judge of whether a believer is living for God or not? Your lost neighbors. The world. They know if we are living for God or not. The world knows that. They know that what a believer should be doing, and it's easy for us to say, they shouldn't be judging me. But here's what's going to happen. If we continue to live in disobedience to God's Word, what's going to happen is something like this. We are living in disobedience. Maybe we're not going to church. We're not being faithful. We're not living for God. They hear the ungodly music pouring out of our house. They hear the filthy language coming out of our mouth. They understand that there is no peace in our home. And then one day we are, maybe we're with them and we say something like this, "Hey, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity?" And they may say something like this, "I know that I'm a bad person. I may not go to heaven." They may say, "Well, I'm a good person, so I think I'll go to heaven." And as we're trying to witness to them, what's going to go through their mind is not what we're saying from the Word of God. What's going to go through their mind is this: "But wait a second, you don't live any differently than I do. So, you're doing those things, so why does it make me evil if I do those things?" You see what happens here? The people that we are to witness to, our testimony is ruined as believers if we are sinning willfully. And there's people that God has placed in our path that we should be witnessing to that will not listen to the gospel, not because they don't believe it's true, but because of who it's coming from. Because they understand the double life that we lived many times. Lord, help us. Notice as we think here of the sins in our lives, when we are not obeying the Bible, church, the world can spot hypocrisy in a church quicker than we can. And if we are sinning willfully, we are trotting on the sacrifice of Christ and insulting the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us have had an encounter at one time or another where we've had a believer say to us, you really shouldn't be doing that. And what comes to our mind first of all? Well, a lot of times it's a sin that we know that they're involved in. But the truth is, each and every one of us, as the Bible says, every man's going to give account of himself unto God. Our willful sin is not justified by someone else's willful sin. Well, they do that. But what has the Bible said to you? What has God taught you? It doesn't talk about the other people. We're talking individually here. If we sin willfully, after that, we have received the knowledge of truth. We know what the Bible says. And if we sin willfully, then here's what's going to happen. We are going to be stomping all over Christ. So first of all, we see the conduct explained. Second of all, notice we see the comparison that was given. And then lastly here this morning, notice we see the condemnation that will come. Look at verse 30 and 31. The Bible says this: "For we know him that hath said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me; I will recompense,' saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Now look at the end of verse 30 there. The Lord shall judge all those wicked people out in the world. But the Lord shall judge his people. What does the Lord talk to you about this morning? So some area in your life that maybe the Holy Spirit has convicted you about and said, "Hey, I know this has been a part of your everyday life, and up to this point there's been a way that you've been able to convince yourself, but that's okay in my life." Notice here, the Lord shall judge his people. We need to be doing what the Bible tells us to do. This condemnation here can be explained in two ways. Of course, for the unbeliever, someone who dies without accepting Christ, they will go to hell. The Bible says this: he that believeth on the Son is, he that believeth not on the Son is condemned already. It doesn't say you'll be condemned when you die. It says you're already condemned. The only way to escape that condemnation of hell is to trust in Christ. The sentence is already given. You not trust Christ as your Savior, when you pass, you will spend an eternity in a place called hell. A place where it's completely dark. A place in which the Bible says that the worm dieth not. It's a place in which people will be screaming and begging to die because of the continuous, unbearable pain. It'll be unending. That's where people go who reject Christ. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you're here today, you've never trusted Christ, understand my heart here this morning. I am not trying to scare you into accepting Christ this morning. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm trying to give you the truth of God's Word. And understand that there are consequences for sinning willfully. The consequence for not accepting Christ will be death and hell for all eternity. And understand that maybe you're a father or a mother, have grandkids and you're here and you're not saved. Whatever your situation may be, understand if you do not accept Christ, the people you're responsible for may never accept Christ. You see, remember I talked about that domino effect earlier. Our decisions, the things that they do. I've heard people say many times, even people here today, I've heard testimony after testimony of people say things like this: if I would have just gotten saved when I was younger, where would my children be today? They see that domino effect. Now, praise the Lord, you've trusted Christ now. Can I tell you this? Keep your eyes on Him. The Lord wants to do a great work through your life. But there's a domino effect for wrong decisions, for sinning willfully. Don't continue down that path here today, church. For the believer, there is not condemnation and hellfire. We know that the Bible declares that when we trust Christ, our sins are forgiven and we have the eternal life as a current possession. When speaking of salvation, the Bible never makes us wonder if it will be forever. It says, shall be saved. It's a sure thing. However, if we get to heaven, we will either have rewards gained or rewards lost. I want you to look over at Revelation chapter 22, if you will. Revelation chapter 22. And notice what the Bible says here. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, it says this, and these are the words of our Lord and Savior. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, we don't have time this morning to dive into a study of the end times. But the truth is, what we do here on earth, how we live, what we do for God, it will affect those around us, but it will have an impact on how we stand before Christ as well. Of what's going to happen. You know, something that I like to do is I like to understand where I'm going to be at a certain point. And I want to understand that when I'm standing at that place, maybe it's a meeting or maybe, if you get a speeding ticket and you're standing before the judge, you know what I want to do? I want to make sure I have all the information together. I want to make sure that I've got all of my I's dotted and my T's crossed. I want to understand that. Because I know the severity of that situation. That's how we should look at how we're going to stand before Christ. Not in the worldly pleasures. So many times believers, we're looking at this life on what we can do now and all of that and how we can be happy and those things. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. It's here, but it vanisheth away. We think about your life. If you live to be 100 years old, think of that in the scope of eternity. It wouldn't even show up on the board, the time that you live. But once we die, we will be with Christ for all eternity. Rewards gained or rewards lost. It'll have an effect on how we stand before Christ. Church, let's be unwilling to live in known sin. Let's not allow our life to be boiled down to willful sin. When we stand before Christ, which statement is going to describe your life? There's two passages I want you to turn to, and then we'll be done here this morning. And notice here the way that these different men lived here, the men we're going to talk about. Understand here, we are going to stand before Christ. And our life can be boiled down in one of these two. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. Both passages are found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But I want you to look at verse 10 first. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Notice the Bible says this: "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia." Notice there, why did Demas forsake him? Because he loved what this world had to offer. There's many believers that have forsaken Christ because of what this world has to offer, because of what they thought they wanted. I don't want to stand before Christ and, though my salvation is secure, to be known as the one who loved this present world. I don't want to be known that. No, rather, I'd rather be known as what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Notice what the Bible says here. Let's read verse 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered at the time of my, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I heard a message preached one time on this passage here. Pastor Moore preached it on verse 9 through verse 22. And he entitled the message this: "The Finishing Disciple." And he talked about ones who had started out well, but then they loved this present world. And I can remember Pastor Moore saying, when he preached through this, I can remember him saying something like this: "Church, I don't want to be someone who just starts out well. I want to be someone who finishes well. I want to be a finishing disciple." The only way that we can have the statement said for us, as in, "I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith, and understand how we're going to stand before God," the only way we can know that is by asking the Lord, "Lord, help me to not live in this willful sin." Over in the book of 1 John, a passage that we quote many times, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we need, church. There's going to be sin that happens in our lives. We have a sinful flesh, but we need to be quick to confess those sins. Our body does not need to just automatically go toward that sin. No, we've got the Holy Spirit within us that is warning us of those things. You know, before a lie comes out of our mouth, we know that it's a lie. We know that. Why do we say that? Because of the pride of our heart. "Well, I just don't want them to think bad of me." And then after we tell that lie, later on they find out it's a lie and they think worse of us than they would have if we would have just told them the truth. We don't need to be living in willful sin. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Don't continue to live in that willful sin. Trust Him today. And understand that what Christ has done for you is paid your sin debt. He's paid it in full. There's nothing else that you need to do other than believe in Christ, accept Him as your personal Savior. That's it. If we do not do that, we are living